This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Tuesday, the 13th of January, 2015, and my name is Patrick Smith. Thanks to Hitchy for last week. I'm back to take over the reins once again. We've got a lot to talk about. You better believe it. The Belfast Giants had a tough weekend last weekend with games against the Hull Stingrays and the Dundee Stars. Yes, a tough weekend last weekend against the Stingrays and the Stars. And we're here to chat about it. We're also joined by Aaron Murphy, Scott Neal, and we have got the big debate, a new section we're going to have where Davey and Coach face off on a hot topic. It was a very enjoyable thing to record. It's well worth tuning into. If you want to get in contact with us at avftbpodcast@kingdomofthegiants.com, kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast is the website, and soundcloud.com/avftb for all of our interviews. The debate is right on its way, but we've a little bit to talk about before that, so here we go. Belfast Giants had a weekend against Gardiner Conference rivals, and so a weekend that probably had high hopes and ended up not being just as great as we expected it to be. Plenty to talk about. This is no doubt going to be one interesting show, so I'll get on with it by first of all introducing my good friend David McGimsey. How are you, mate?
Good evening, Paddy. I'm doing something tonight I don't normally do, but I've cracked open a Thailand lager here tonight just to wet the whistle because I'm really looking forward to this debate later.
And also joining us, a man who's flying over to Sheffield this weekend. I'm looking forward to seeing TV's Neil Russell. Sorry, Neil the Coach Russell.
Don't get that wrong, Patrick. good to hear your voice and looking forward to the debate later on, Paddy. Should be an interesting one.
Hiya, Coach.
Hello, David. Going to take you out of the roots in a wee while here.
No chance. Folk team, David.
Well, this week we're going to discuss the weekend's games against Hull and Dundee. We've got this big debate coming up. We'll look around the league, and it's also a big week of games with the Challenge Cup quarter-final second leg against Cardiff to talk about amongst the games against Sheffield and Edinburgh. But first up, the Belfast Giants took on the Hull Stingrays at the Odyssey Arena on Saturday night and were subject to a 4-2 defeat at the hands of the Stingrays. It's the second time this season the Giants have given up a 2-goal lead at home, and the Stingrays the last time the Giants lost two consecutive games in regulation to Hull was in November 2008. Giants goals came from Mason and Chevrolet, and the Stingrays goals came from Frederick, Tanaka, Pasha and Galbraith. Giants got off to a strong start in the first period, leading by 2-0, but Davey, it didn't get much better than that.
No, and tell you what, the bit that got better, the first period, first 20 minutes of the game, dominant performance, vastly outshot them, slick passing, looked a confident team, got two lovely goals. First one by Mason from a lovely sort of no-look behind the back pass from Chevy, and then Chevy following up himself with a goal, and everything was going absolutely fantastically. We'd known that earlier, we've talked about it many, many times, we'll lead after the first, we'd only lost one game this season. After leading after one period with 1-13, and you know, that sent us in the first period break. I'm sure the guys were sitting in the locker room saying, you know, that's a good first period, boys. Let's go out there and keep it going. And my goodness, the wheels just came off. We came out in a second period with no fire in the belly. We came out and we were sluggish, and it was almost a case of this game's over, boys. Let's just keep what we've got in the tank here. Let's keep our lead. Let's trap it up. And you know, and unfortunately, when you lose momentum, and I know Coach will come on to it about, you know, being proactive and stuff. When you lose momentum and your confidence is maybe a wee bit down, it's very, very hard to get back, and it was unacceptable. You know, losing hockey's okay. Let's not get wrong. You know, you lose games through a season. We've lost plenty of games in the last 15 years, but in the pantheon of games in the last, you know, this weekend will go down as a very, very bad weekend.
Coach, that second period, where the Belfast Giants having a 2-0 lead and then conceding over the course of two periods, four unanswered goals at home to lose to the Stingrays. So let's be fair, we're expecting, especially at home, to be of the more dominant side. It's unacceptable.
It is unacceptable, Paddy. Steve Thornton will tell you that. I'd like to think the players will tell you that, and I'd like to think the ownership will tell you that as well. I mean, Davey's been very clear and succinct there in his analysis, really. The first 20 minutes, Sis and I were calling the game, and Davey's right, tape-to-tape passing, couple of lovely goals. We were physical, we're laying the body out. Not everybody, I'd still like to see more from number 15 on that front, but we were good. The final 40 minutes, we stank the building out. Now, Sis and I were very aware of this while calling the game as well. You don't want to take a thing away from the Hull Stingrays. They were good. They were tenacious. They were fast. They were physical. You could just see like it was a no, never say die attitude from them. And I admire them greatly for that. But we are the Belfast Giants. And please don't, listeners, take that in any way as an arrogant thing. We're a massive club. We are one of the biggest clubs in the UK. We have got fantastic hockey players. Steve Thornton said it after the game. We're a team of stud players. We've got a very, very good team. And those final 40 minutes, my goodness, we were awful. Stank the building out.
David, I'd even go further than that. Usually we come, when we suddenly find ourselves down, we'll find it from somewhere deep inside that we'll come back. We'll come look at ourselves against Cardiff last week. Okay, we didn't come back and win the game or rescue a tie, but we roared back at them and we've put ourselves in a position that tomorrow night we've got a chance in the quarter final. Well, we're outshot by Hull in the third period at home. And, this is disrespectful to Hull, but that shouldn't be the case. We have a team full of top drawer elite league talent. And with the greatest respect to Hull's players, there's not a player in that Hull team that I would swap for a Belfast Giants player. And to be outshot at home, I wouldn't swap a Hull Stingrays player for a player in our roster. I'm talking imports for imports. Okay? There's not a, you tell me who you would swap in that Hull Stingrays team then for a player on the Giants roster.
Well, a couple of players have stood out to me. Well, one in particular for the Hull Stingrays, Corey Tanaka, thought he was excellent. A real upgrade in his brother, by the way, Cale Tanaka, who plays in Coventry, former Hull Stingray. The brother, the Corey Tanaka, he has about 30 goals already for the Hull Stingrays. Okay, maybe playing the Gardner Conference, but he's playing for one of the lesser teams, putting up big, big stats. The other one that Sis pointed out to me during the first period, Carl Lauzon, thought he was excellent on Friday. Sis pointed him out early doors, and I kind of kept an eye on him. He was excellent. So there's one or two there that I look at some of our underperforming players. I'm not going to go round it again. You know who I'm talking about. That I wouldn't be too slow.
I have to say, like Lauzon, his work with Galbraith for the shorthanded, the shorthanded fourth goal, back and forward, and it hits off Lauzon's shot hits off the post. Galbraith picks it up, wraps it round. Chewback's in the middle of the ice because he's diving after the shot from Lauzon, and Galbraith has an easy just tap past Calvin Elfring and into the net. You have to give the Hull Stingrays credit that they did come into the Odyssey Arena, coach, and play a great road game.
Yeah, they did. And that, as I said, Sis and I were very, very aware of that during the webcast. I mean, sometimes you can get caught up in emotion, the Belfast Giants guys and all the rest. And, you want your team to win. Obviously, you're sitting there, you're part of the game. You've been following the club for 15 years. That's our team. But, I mean, you sometimes just have to give credit where credit is due. And the Hull Stingrays, as I say, they persevered. They were first of the pucks. They battled really hard along the boards. They had a good amount of skill in their team. They took their opportunities. I thought defensively, they were excellent. But we keep going back to it. You pit the Hull Stingrays team up against the Belfast Giants team and look at the caliber of player. There's something not right there whenever you look at the overall statistics, in my opinion, whenever you see the quality of the both sides.
I'm actually going to move it on to the Sunday game. There is a topic I want to bring up with regards to it, which I think it reflects on both games, so I'll come back to it in a second. I will say that the highlights, if you really want to watch them, of that game against the Hull Stingrays are on Giants Live TV. On Sunday, the Belfast Giants travelled to Dundee to take on the Stars and were subject to a 3-2 shootout loss. Giants goals coming from Shields and Westgarth, while the Stars goals came from John Dolan. This was Dundee's third all-time win against the Belfast Giants. 28 games, one regulation win for them, one overtime win, and now one shootout win. It was also Calvin Elfring's 100th game as a Giant. Davey, the Dundee Stars at this moment in time are propping up. They've fallen off from the fantastic season they had last year. And again, the Belfast Giants sitting in the top end of the table went into Dundee thinking, you know, this should be an easy 2 points. They toiled, and it was pretty much another shocking performance.
Paddy, we come off a weekend where we had Sheffield, arguably the best team on paper this season, had came to the Odyssey and been royally dispatched 260 minutes at a time. Our tails should have been up. Now, being defeated by Hull has obviously affected confidence badly, and we've gone to Dundee and lost badly. We've taken a point. We've also got to find some positives from a weekend, or you go into Cardiff tomorrow night desolate. You just go in, you just get beat, and you go to Sheffield and you get beat, and you go to Edinburgh, you get beat. You have to find positives in sport to get yourself up for the next game, but not good enough. Unfortunately, you know, let's not blame a referee for a defeat, but the call on Sawada changes the game. We get a go-ahead goal on that play. You just don't know what happens. We're ahead at that stage. We still have Ray Sawada. Lloyd thrown out as well. Another phantom call. We've seen the replays. They are not game misconducts. We have had to play with two men down. Mike Compton is double treble shifting to make up for players that are sitting in the locker room that shouldn't be. I'm not blaming the referee for the loss because Dundee scored the goals. However, his performance has to be in the dock here because it's unacceptable for those guys to be potentially suspended when he is the one that should be suspended.
Well, let's bring that topic up now then. That was the one I was basically hinting at earlier on. And coach, we had Stefan Hogarth reffing the night before and maybe not covering himself in glory in that game. And then Toby Craig at the game against Dundee, which is an absolutely shocking performance for a referee. Now, I agree with Davey. We are not, and I will repeat this time and time again, I am not putting the actual loss at the hands of the referee. The referee doesn't score the goals, but the referee did have a significant input in this game in a negative connotation.
Yeah, both nights, you know, Sunday night really stood out for me. I watched the webcast, and Toby Craig actually met him 3 or 4 weeks ago over in Brayhaven. I was doing one of the Premier games. Very nice guy off the ice and all the rest, but his on-ice performances haven't been great, to say the least. And I thought he was horrendously poor on Sunday. A lot of very poor calls. The Sawada, the Lloyd call, and a few of the other calls. I mean, he sent Westgarth to the box on a couple of occasions for absolutely nothing. I mean, listen, we debate this, don't we, on, you know, once or twice a month on these podcasts about the refereeing and the investment that's required. I mean, the Elite League are going to have to do something here. They're going to have to invest. I don't know what route they're going to go down. Do they maybe bring somebody in like a aspiring referee, you know, somebody who's maybe done 3 or 4 years, but he's still young enough to maybe come over the league, pay him to run the whole thing or whatever. It needs to just sharpen up professionally. I mean, it's just not good enough at the minute. And, you know, you talk about developing these referees. I look at the likes of Toby Craig. Toby Craig's one of the elder gentlemen in terms of reffing now. Can you develop those types of guys at that age? I'm not sure what age he is, but he'd be mid to late 40s. I'm not sure. I'm completely guessing there. But, like, are you really going to develop them? I think, you know, likes of Stefan Hogarth, I thought he was poor on Saturday night, but I think he can develop him. I think he can help him and those other EPL referees so they can make that transition from EPL up into the Elite League. But the Elite League teams are going to have to start putting their money where their mouth is and stop the complaining then on the back of it, because I think all the coaches, you can see the frustration with the players and the coaches, and in turn the general managers and the owners, they're going to have to front up here, Paddy.
I agree with you, and I think that one thing at Highlands, I got into a bit of a discussion about it last night on Twitter, and one thing
I did say that.
Yeah, but one thing that really grinds me is the fact that I am totally for the development of these referees. We need referees. We need the officials to have the game. You can't have the game without them. They're essential. However, if you're going to put Hogarth out, you're going to put Toby Craig out, and you know that they maybe don't cut the mustard, then you put them out with an experienced referee and you develop him. Hogarth has been reffing in the EPL for a good few years, and even EPL fans here in Manchester will tell you that they put their hands over their eyes when he comes into their rink. So he needs developing. So why is he refereeing on his own in Belfast? Why? I don't get it. Even I watched back that game against the Hull Stingrays and the other day, and the call on Westgarth for roughing, there was nothing there. Absolutely nothing there. In fact, Hogarth had his back to the play, and he calls roughing on Westgarth. Is it any wonder that Westgarth's afraid to throw anything about? Because if you're going to go up against something like somebody like Stefan Hogarth, who's going to call you for absolutely nothing, you might get kicked out of the game for a phantom spear the next night, the way that Daryl Lloyd was. The same way that at one point, on a delayed penalty, Hogarth puts himself behind the net with his hand in the air and is in the way. It doesn't move. Puts himself in, actively skates in the way of Craig Peacock with the puck. Peacock loses the puck. It goes to the Stars and the whistle's blown. Well, it was a delayed penalty and Peacock's trying to make a play there, yet the referee is the guy with the skates there that basically breaks up the play. Not acceptable from our officials in this league. And it's just a case that these guys have to be developed in some way. And I have to say, like, I watched back the two incidents from the Dundee game before we chatted here, because I knew they'd rile me up. And good Lord, Toby Craig, what game are you watching? How could you call a phantom spear on Daryl Lloyd when the actual blade of his stick was pointed in the opposite direction to the player that he went into? It beggars belief.
I couldn't agree more. You've said it and said it very passionately as well, Paddy. I mean, it really does defy belief. I mean, it's just simply not good enough from Toby Craig, and I've seen some very poor performances from Stefan Hogarth as well, as I say. But I mean, it comes back to the age-old problem, and I've already said it. The elite league are going to have to do something about it. It's simply not good enough. The standard of the reffing just ain't good enough. There's far, far, far too much inconsistency. You know, I'm not sure why, but I have barely seen Tom Darnell in Belfast. I'm not sure. Is he reffing as much? I know he started a brand new commercial role and all that type of stuff, but is he reffing as much? I don't know. Are we struggling for actual numbers for referees in this league? I mean, I think one thing that we have to say here, we're having a pop at the refs, but I think I mentioned this in the podcast a few weeks ago. It's easy for us to have a pop at them, and yes, it's deserved, but I can tell you now, from speaking to the likes of Dean Smith a few weeks back and what have you, the refs know it themselves. They know they need help. They know they need investment. They know that they need to be sent away in more of these camps. They need a more uniformed approach. But that's down to the elite league. If we want to be seen as a professional league, I think now we tick so many boxes, Paddy. Our arenas are getting bigger and better. There's more fans coming through the doors. Look at the crowds over Christmas. Fantastic. Atmospheres and buildings, generally very, very good. Tick, tick, the standard of players that are coming in, former NHLers, top-line AHLers, all coming back into the league again. Tick, 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 tick. And the one thing, the players are all leaving saying, it's a pretty well-run league. It's pretty professional, but you know what? The reffing is absolutely horrific. And we need to assist the referees as opposed to probably jumping on their back on a continual basis.
Davey, I'll try to bring it back to this game. And despite the fact the Giants had 60 minutes of penalties to the Dundee Stars 2, the Giants are still a stronger team. Yep, they have to give credit to the Stars in their own barn. And they're up against it. They're propping up the league, but they still took away the 2 points.
Yes, and credit to them for going for the full 60 minutes. And, you know, the Giants, once again, we didn't do it on Saturday night, but we roared back at Dundee in the third period, and we got a lot of rubber on Mark Chevrolet. Much improved performance from Chevrolet from his performance just a couple of weeks ago in the Odyssey, and he managed to hold them out. Disappointing for me in the overtime frame, where we just didn't put any pressure really on the, in fact, if anything, we were locked on our own zone for large periods of the overtime period. We had one probably opportunity where Chelsea is shot high and wide, with sort of Chevrolet beat, but you know, that was really our only opportunity in overtime. And then, you know, penalty shots can go either way, and unfortunately on this occasion they went the way of Dundee.
Yep, John Dolan sealing the winner in overtime. Highlights of the game from Stars TV. One question before we move on, gents, and I'll start with yourself, Coach. What's the key to the inconsistency within the Belfast Giants?
Oh, mate, I think Steve Thornton and everybody within the team and all the rest is probably asking that same question. I am struggling to put my finger on it. Just consistently inconsistent, really.
Coach, can I jump in then?
No, I'm ready to rock and roll, mate. Don't
worry. Okay, go ahead.
You know, I think it's a mixture of we have a passenger or two still within this team. I hate, and I genuinely mean, I dislike kind of naming names, as it were, you know, kind of having pot shots, but kind of critiquing players in a negative way. I really do. And it's something that we haven't really had to do over the last couple of years, to be brutally honest with you. But I think there's a couple of players that just aren't up to the mark. I mean, pardon the pun, number 21 for me is just a million miles off it. Just a million miles off it. I mean, his production, his lack of creativity, turning the puck over continually. And you know what? I'm going to give him credit because I can see it. And this is where I actually feel a bit sorry for the guy. He's working his tail off. And I have always said, see if I see somebody out there working their tail off for my club, they'll always get a pat on the back from me. It is true. You see, whenever he's one of your top import forwards, or supposed to be one of your top import forwards, what we're getting from it, the two goals in 2021-22 games, not good enough, Paddy. It's simply not good enough. Sport is, and like most things, if you're a salesman, or whatever it is that you are, sportsman, it's a results-based business. And for me, we're just not getting enough out of him. I would like to see us getting a bit more out of Big Westgarth as well. I mean, I think at times he's very stationary. He doesn't play physical enough. I can see the counter argument to that. Whenever he actually does lay the body, you see him getting put to the box for silly indiscretions, or not even indiscretion, just silly roughing calls. And it's a million miles from roughing. And I sometimes think, is he getting penalised because of his size? But I don't think we're getting enough. I think defensively, bar Jeff Mason, Robbie Sandrock's put up the points. Robbie Sandrock's points production has been superb. Jeff Mason's been very good. I think Elfie's starting to get back to where he was last year. But I mean, our defensive core just hasn't been anywhere near as tight as we're used to with this Belfast Giants team. So I think overall it is obviously a mixture of our defence not being on a par with what we're expected. But our forward play, it just lacks cohesiveness, Paddy. We're not slick enough. And I just don't think overall we've been overly physical.
Davey?
I think it's mental, Paddy.
I think it's mental too. Oh, sorry, you mean actually mental.
I think it's in our players' head. I'll stick up a wee bit for number 21, as Coach called him there, Mark McCutton, 17 points in 21 games through a season that's been interrupted and hampered by injury. To me, isn't a bad return. I do think he's a little weak along the half boards and round behind the net, but he carries the puck in. He's the one player in our team that transitions the puck with real, you know, sort of pace. He's got that. You can't coach speed. And, you know, I think if he can get himself a little stronger, and I'm not saying, you know, his weakness could be down to just he hasn't had a good start this season. He's just not strong enough to where he needs to be. He's been playing in the Italian leagues, maybe just not as North American in style and as physical, and he's taken time to adapt. I don't think Mark McCutcheon's a bad player. But I do believe that this team has serious confidence issues when we go behind in games. And Steve Thornton's talked about it lots in post-game interviews, this squeezing the stick, as he calls it, you know, boys just trying too hard and maybe not taking the shots that you should take, not taking hits to make a play, not making plays because they're scared to make a mistake. And that is just a confidence thing. And I thought that the two games against Sheffield would have us back in a position where we are a good team here, boys. We've just sent the best team in the league home here twice. But we've come out against Cardiff really flat. And for me, that is in the head because man for man, and that roster that I have in front of me has 402 points in 37 games. This is a good team.
Davey, you talk about Sheffield. I said it a million times on social media afterwards. That's the standard set. We saw that doubleheader weekend. We were freaking brilliant. We did everything right. We were physical from the get-go. Okay, Sheffield went ahead and all the rest. We came back. We stuck at it the whole time. We engaged them physically. Kiefer dropping the mitts with Danny Bois. Calvin Elfring with the Gordie Howe. I mean, everything about that weekend was absolutely It was Belfast Giants written all over it. That's the standard set. We are on the back foot at the minute, and I thought that that was a really pivotal moment. I thought, you know what? Happy days. Bit between the teeth. This team has found its identity again. And then Cardiff come in. We were awful, I thought. Very, very poor against Cardiff.
But that's what I'm saying, Coach. I know.
But great. I don't buy into the confidence thing. I mean, we proved what we can do. Well, it's not, as our good friend Simon Kitchen would say, it ain't rocket science. Get out there, move your feet bloody quickly, play physical, drive the net hard, put pucks on goal, drive the net, do all the simple things. Ice hockey it's not frickin' rocket science, and I sometimes wonder, are we getting too complicated with, I don't know, with our play in some way? I mean, get the puck on goal. We have Ray Sawada, Kevin Westgarth. We have big units. Adam Keith, Darryl Lloyd, guys who aren't afraid or shouldn't be afraid to crash the net, be intimidating. You know, we have got enough silky, smooth players. Colin Shields, as you touched on a while ago, superb passer of the puck. We've got some really good shooters. I want to just touch on one thing. And Sizz and I have talked about it a lot in the webcast. The amount of shots that we seem to be taking this year that seem to be going high and wide, some good opportunities, and we're not making the goaltender work. That's something that has really stood out for me. A lot of shots coming in from the point and what have you. You've got clear shooting lanes, and we're still going wide or high over the goaltender. I think that's something that we would need to address. I'm sure Steve Thornton would want to address as well.
There's a strange dynamic in the Giants at the minute. There's a lot of things. Like you say, I totally agree with you, Coach. The shooting doesn't seem to be right. There's something just a little bit off. And then you see little other changes in dynamic. You look at that line with Westgarth and Peacock, and Peacock's the guy throwing the hits. Now, mm-hmm. is that down to the fact that Peacock thinks he can play with no fear and he can go and hit, and then Westgarth will come in and clear things up? Quite possibly, because especially in that game against Hull, Peacock throws a big hit. I think it was on Tanaka. Tanaka stands up, pushes him back. In comes Westgarth, and Tanaka just goes. He says, no, I'm not having any of you, mate. You know, however, Peacock's not the guy you're expecting to throw the hit. Westgarth's the guy expecting to throw the hit because nobody's going to mess with him. Yet it's Westgarth who we see in other games, like against Cardiff through Trevor Hendricks, who's taking the hits and not throwing anything back. And the dynamic of the Giants seems to be this weird sort of slant that we're expecting great things from players we've seen great things from before, and we're not getting what we expect to get. Is that a mental thing? Is that a confidence thing? Or is it a coaching thing? I don't know. But what I do think is that on more games, and especially this weekend, a lot of players aren't given the full buy-in when they cross over, when they step onto that ice. They're not stepping up to play the full game that we expect them to play. And I'm glad I wasn't travelling then. You know, I wasn't up in Dundee because I'd have lost the plot.
I couldn't agree more. I think I actually said that on Sunday after the Hull game. A lot of people said, so as it does with the Belfast Giants fans, I mean, a couple of defeats and it's the end of the world stuff. And, you know, I try to avoid that type of thing. I've always tried to be a glass half full type person. But for me, this team is just lacking that identity. Normally by this stage of the season or by kind of October, November time, you can kind of say, this is the identity of our team. We're a strong forechecking team. We're a silky smooth team. We're a defensively sound team. You have an identity. I honestly am struggling to kind of say what we are this season. And I think that has come around through a mixture of things. I mean, you know, we've touched on it a million times. We started the season off with niggles and injuries and playing the short bodied and all the rest. And I just think we've just struggled to get any form of cohesiveness together at all. I just think a couple of our players are vastly underperforming. I think we could get a lot more out of a lot more seasoned campaigners. I think Carson Chubak's been an excellent signing for us. I think Steve Thornton has done a superb job there, but just there are too many question marks at the minute for me, Paddy. And you know, over the next Wednesday evening and by Sunday evening, we'll know a lot more about this team. Let's put it like that.
Sorry, Davey. Before we move on to the big debate, I interrupted you there.
I can't remember what I was going to say, Paddy. To be honest,
you nervous? You nervous?
No, not at all.
Well, then, why don't we get on with it? onto something new, something I'm actually been looking forward to for a few days. Over the next few weeks, we'll be engaging in a new feature where two of us will partake in a debate on some of the hot topics within the Elite League. After which, we want to hear from you, be it on Twitter, Facebook, email, or the Kingdom of the Giants forum. We'll be debating for 10 minutes, completely unedited, and with any swearing, boys, I'll just bleep it out, so don't think you get away with it that way. Each participant will have a maximum of 3 minutes to put their case forward, after which we'll have 4 minutes of questions and debate. This will end with each being given 30 seconds of uninterrupted time to make a closing statement, which opens the floor to you, the listener, to vote on who you feel made the most compelling argument. Now, before I give this week's topic and see who goes first, I'll highlight that this is a debate between two opposing cases. However, outside the debate, it may not be the actual conviction of the participant. Regardless of that, at the end, we want you to tell us who you thought gave the most compelling case. This week's topic for debate, gentlemen. Following the comments of Fife Flyers head coach Todd Doodham in the press, I believe that the Department of Player Safety has been poorly implemented. Davey McGimsey is taking the pro statement and that coach has taken the anti statement. Before I toss the coin, gentlemen, do you both know the rules?
Yep.
Happy, yes.
Okay, I'll toss the coin here. Coach, heads or tails?
Tails never fails, Paddy.
Tails it is. Would you like to go first or second?
I would like to go first.
Okay.
Do you know what it's called, Paddy, before we get started?
What's it called?
Hashtag best foot forward.
Best foot forward. Alrighty then.
Well, do you want me to go?
No, hold on. I'll read out the statement again for you. And from that, when I finish reading the statement, you've got 3 minutes. Following the comments of Fife Flyers head coach Todd Doodham in the press, on your case, coach, you believe that the Department of Player Safety has not been poorly implemented.
Absolutely. I mean, let me just kick off by saying, look at last year's suspensions in the year 2013-2014. Remember this stat, 167 games in total in terms of suspensions last season. Including that is 46 games for Derek Campbell. This season so far, what are we, the middle of January? 45 games so far to date in terms of suspensions. Personally speaking, I like the way DOPS has been implemented. I personally don't agree with every single caller suspension, but by and large, they're getting things right. And that's a positive thing for the league moving forward. The fact that the Elite League DOPS is an anonymous group of hockey officials throughout the whole hockey world, quarterbacked, yes, in fairness, by a couple of senior UK officials. In my opinion, it's totally and utterly fine by me. These officials from right across Europe and North America, they're all sent the videos for review. They report back their findings. And again, that sits very well with me and obviously sits very well with all of the Elite League general managers, owners, etc., etc. The only reason people, in my opinion, teams and fans don't like the lack of the full transparency on it, and we've discussed this many times, people like to see everything, so they do. I get that, but the real reason I think why people really want to see the full transparency of it is so they can actually argue, bitch, and moan towards the person or persons that sit on the review committee. For me, DOPS is 1,000 times better than anything we've ever had before in the Elite League. Anyone wants to argue against that, come on ahead. Let's look back. Simon Kirkham was a previous head of discipline. When he was in charge, the kind of accusation floating around was maybe at times he could be slightly easily influenced in certain decisions. Last year, Maury Hansen, he handed out big suspensions without much of an explanation. I can remember seeing social media go mad. You're getting a one like, such and such has been banned for 5 games. No explanation whatsoever. Look at what we're actually getting now. And he's packed it in, Maury Hansen, on the back of the abuse that he got from GMs, coaches, owners, and fans alike. So for me, an anonymous board of qualified officials from around the world, it's the best option. And although fans don't agree with every call from DOPS, in my opinion, they're getting around 90% of the calls perfectly right. Is it 100% perfect? No, it's not. But it's certainly a very high percentage. And at the end of the day, we're all officials, aren't we? Whenever we're watching tapes and replays back, just as coaches are coaches when they're actually reviewing tape to show mistakes to their own players, to aid them, to hopefully improve moving forward. So I think it's a win-win overall. the issue that sometimes makes Dobbs life difficult, and this is something that as fans and people across the elite have to remember by clubs, it's grainy, it's bumpy type images. In my opinion,
Coach, that's your time's up. Your time is up. That was 3 minutes. Thank you very much.
No 20-second warning.
Nope. Sorry, mate. Go straight forward.
I'm sure he was getting to a point there.
Right, Davey, it's your turn. 3 minutes on the topic following the comments of Fife Flyers head coach Todd Doonan in the press. I believe that Dobbs' system has been poorly implemented.
Paddy, first of all, thank you for letting me take this topic, because I do believe that Todd Doonan is 100% correct. The Dobbs system has been poorly implemented. Any good system of governance is underlined by transparency, and a system that only pays lip service to transparency, let's be honest, by like smoke and mirrors of semi-see-throughness with slick videos and voiceover, it lays itself open to criticism for what can't be seen. Who are Dobbs? Are there players involved, club officials, or is it simply two referees rubber stamping, or even worse, retrospectively refereeing games due to up to four officials on the ice not controlling games or missing key incidents? As coach says, last season we knew it was well-respected official Murray Hansen, and yes, the addition of the explanations and video evidence is welcome this year, but it may well just be Sheffield's Chuckle Brothers, Dave Sims and Seth Bennett making the decisions. We just don't know. And therefore, because of the perceived lack of credentials of this panel, that means for me, strike one. Let's look at Nickerson's incident. Let's look at incidents closely. He received a three-match ban there. Jeff Smith finishes in Jamie Wilson. He's tipping the puck in for a line change. Draws a crowd. Dobbs' own statements say Smith's involved in an altercation with numerous Fife players. And at this stage, Smith throws at least two punches at Nickerson, who granted shouldn't be getting involved, but no other Fife player was penalised and Smith received 2+2 for roughing, while Nickerson receives a 5-minute major. Got the rules out here. IWHF rule 528F. States clearly that a player's on the ice and involved in an altercation with a player off the ice shall be assessed at the ref's discretion either 10 minutes, game misconduct or match penalty. Can't have been a third man call in because there was no Fife player called in the play, so the only law that ref Toby Craig can use is a 5-minute tariff for unnecessary roughness. Now, Jeff Smith is 6'6" and 225 pounds. He took one punch after throwing two, can hardly be deemed unnecessary rough. Therefore, I would question the Dobbs decision and remit. IWHF Rule 510 on supplementary discipline states that regardless of the incident, the ref's call on the ice, it can be reviewed. Dobbs seems to limit itself to games and match penalties, and therefore the renders the only person in that incident that can get additional penalty is Nickerson, and it's been incorrectly called by the referee. That's strike two for me against Dobbs. It set itself up against odds with the IWHF rules. A tariff chart, I think, should be implemented for first and second stroke repeat offences, and that would massively enhance, and I believe, sharpen players' focus. Because at the minute it appears haphazard as to what the outcome of any decision could be. Dangerous reckless hit from behind, to use Dobbs' own terminology, recently received a 1-match ban. Omar Passio receives a 2-game ban for throwing a couple of water bottles on the ice surface at the end of a passionate game, tight finish. You know, in closing, Paddy, because I don't want to go over my 3 minutes here because, you know, if you give coach, you know, in closing my opening statement, I do believe that a Dobbs is essential to the league. But I argue for the motion, and I back Fife Flyers head coach Todd Doonan 100% that the Dobbs system has been poorly implemented.
3 minutes. Okay. Thanks, gentlemen.
That was longer than 3 minutes. Well read, Debbie, by the way.
That's the 3 minutes complete. We're now going to have 4 minutes, and I'm going to open up with a question for yourself, coach. Debbie seems to suggest that Dobbs, due to its inconsistency, means that it's poorly implemented.
Well, what I would say in reply to that, Paddy, is, you know, I've actually spoken to a couple of people involved over the last couple of days. And, you know, something that the Dobbs, I believe, and certainly the league would say is that, is it perfect? No, it's not. But what the Elite League and what Dobbs are doing now is going to build up this video evidence moving forward. And they've set the standards now for moving forward. So from next season onwards, they'll be able to look back at old indiscretions from players, and the standard has been set this season.
Davey, so in consequence of what Coach brought up, he was saying that the fact that it's not perfect, but it's the best we've got at the moment, and therefore we just have to run with it.
It's an evolving situation, yes, I agree, but at the outset, there should have been tariffs set down to say, if you check somebody from behind for the first time, it's a 1-game ban. If you do it a second time, it's a 3-game ban. If you do it a third time, and so on and so on. It seems completely haphazard at the moment. You can have one person having a hit from behind, getting a three-match ban, somebody else getting a one-game ban. There seems to be no tariff set down. Each individual case needs to be judged on its merit, but it needs to be judged against a tariff of offences and bans subsequent. So players know the moment they see somebody's number and they run them into the boards, if I do that, I'm looking at three games in the stands here.
Coach, does that mean that we don't do it then? No tariffs, therefore no system?
Yeah, listen, as I've already said, Dobbs, is it perfect? No, it's not, Paddy, and I'm sure it's an evolving situation with Dobbs. That may well come in next season. Who knows? But what I will say, and again, it's something that I've picked up from some discussions that I've had over the last few days, players are fully aware. They have to be held accountable, and they are being held accountable through the Dobbs committee. Just as I said right at the top of my argument, look at last season, look at the suspensions that were handed out. It's greatly reduced. I believe that that is on the impact of Dobbs and some of the clear guidelines and the clear and concise videos that we are seeing from Dobbs on a very regular basis. Players are being held accountable and they are now fully aware of what they're going to get away with and what they can and can't get away with.
I'm very glad to hear you saying that Dobbs is not perfect, because it's far from perfect, and I'm glad that you've also said it needs help, because it does need help. It's an evolving process, yes, but it is you badly underestimate just the effect on players not knowing. Darryl Lloyd's been thrown out of a game on Saturday night for spearing, or Sunday night for spearing. Turns out it was a phantom spear, but he's been on tenterhooks, I'm sure, for days, wondering what the ban's going to be. Doug Clarkson takes a
walk. You're talking about officials, David?
No, I'm talking about Dobbs, because Dobbs would have automatically reviewed any game or match penalty. So that was automatically reviewed by Dobbs.
Yes.
Darryl Lloyd will have been sitting waiting until today, possibly.
Incorrect.
Not knowing whether he's going to play in the next games. Sorry,
you're
just let me finish, please. Okay, so Dobbs is technically flawed.
You're incorrect on that.
How is he incorrect, Coach?
I would strongly suggest that the club knew before today that Darryl Lloyd or Ray Sawada were not going to be facing any form of suspension.
Or sorry then, at least yesterday, first business day of the week.
Yeah, well, David, the incident happened that you're talking about on Sunday evening. I would strongly suggest that the club would have been informed, certainly by Monday afternoon, at the absolute latest.
And then should that be made public?
I don't believe so, because I believe that Dobbs is there to put out video evidence and audio evidence of exactly, you know, the breakdown of all the suspensions and what have you. This wasn't a suspension, so it's a move on process.
Okay, I'm sorry, Davey. At the end of there, that's the 4 minutes done. So what I'm going to do is going to bring it back to you, lads. You have 30 seconds. To basically make your final statements. I'll start with you, Coach, because you went first in the start. So, 30 seconds to make your final statement. Go.
Is Dobbs totally perfect? No. But it's the best we have, and we've never had this level of interaction or breakdown ever before. Dobbs takes into account repeat offenders. The excellent videos that we have received have all been clear. They've all been concise, full of excellent detail, broken down into slow-mo replays, and they've been clear and very, very concise. So for fans, as everyone can see, what's fully going on, so much so, the fans, owners, GMs, and indeed the players themselves are fully informed of the offences.
Thank you, Coach.
The rules that have been broke. Oh, you're joking me.
Thank you, Coach. That was 30 seconds. Davey?
Hell.
There we go. We'll get the beep in there. Davey, 30 seconds starting now.
Dobbs is on clear. It needs overhauled. It's lacking in consistency. So for me, on my earlier point, that's strike three. There's precedents from earlier in the season where hits to the head carry a three-match ban. Precedents where spears carry a one-match ban. Unnecessary roughness, I've seen with Nickerson, carries a three-match ban. Does that mean that Grimaldi throwing his helmet to an 11-match ban? They've given him an 18-game ban. They were unspecific as to what each incident called for. Fans want to know the detail. The details and the bits that they don't show. The transparency is great. The videos are great. The voiceovers are great. But the bits that don't show are the bits that people want to see.
It sounds like a wee man up at the doing the Ulster rally or the Ulster Hall rallies back in the 80s there.
Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for your input. And it now turns to the listener. If you stick with Coach, or if you follow Davey, go to Twitter, go to Facebook, go to Kingdom of the Giants Forum, give us your comments, give us your hashtag vote Coach or hashtag vote Davey. We'll see this time next week who gave the most compelling argument. I really enjoyed that. Right, well, following that, we gotta look around the league. bring up a topic that Hitchie brought up last week. Former Nottingham Panther, former Edinburgh Capital, Joe Grimaldi, after going absolutely buck mad on the ice, is going to be given an 18-game suspension for his outburst at the NIC with Mosey and Pearl. However, having sacked Grimaldi, the Capitals only have to sit and import for 10 games, with the EIHL website vaguely states as being per Elite League rules. Davey, first of all, start with you. 18 games. I know you brought it up there in the big debate, but 18 games for Grimaldi, yet 10 games only for the Edinburgh Capitals. Fair enough in both cases?
Rules is rules. Edinburgh have dealt with him very quickly there before the ban was even out that they'd released him from his contract. It's interesting, and I brought it up in the debate there that, you know, Dobbs trying to be transparent have really been a little untransparent in this case, where they've just said 18 games. You know, I'd like to know what the 18 games are for, because obviously he's the hitting Mosey. He has the attempted spear on Perrant, and then the throwing the helmet and the punch. So I tweeted Dobbs, unsurprisingly, I didn't get a reply, but it was just to ask, you know, is there a breakdown of the four or five offences as to what each hill? I think he's been harshly dealt with there, but, you know, it was a very, very, it's a unique case. You don't usually have somebody going completely hat stand and getting four or five different, you know, match penalty type situations within sort of 30 seconds of each other. So it is a unique case. I understand they've dealt with it quickly. They've dealt with it harshly. They've drawn a line in the sand saying, you know, this is unacceptable. So have the Edinburgh Capitals, and we'll move on.
Coach, we saw Derek Campbell get 3,510 game suspension, but the whole Stingrays only getting, I can't remember what it was. It was vastly reduced on appeal. Obviously, this has set a precedent, and the Edinburgh Capitals are only having to sit 10. There are voices that say that, you know, they employed him, they should have to suffer the full 18.
I can see the arguments for both. I just wonder whether a bit of discretion has been used here, in terms of everyone knows that Joe Grimaldi is a complete and utter rocket. Yes, it comes down, yes, the club hire him and all the rest, but I mean, his behaviour was nothing short of disgusting. It was disgusting. The check to the head, the spear to Max Perron's, Saurav Ganguly's, I mean, and then like chucking a helmet in a fellow pro's face. An absolute disgrace. Good riddance to him. I think I said in the podcast last week that Edinburgh would probably get in around 10 games, and that's what's happened. It's probably fair, and I don't think, I know Davey's going to speak to Scott Neil, but I'd be surprised if Scott Neil could argue too much with it overall.
I listened to your podcast last week when I was skiing, and the term Saurav Ganguly's nearly made me fall off my skis. It was very funny. It'd be interesting as well. Joe Grimaldi has stated he's going to bring out a blog of truths. Another Elite League or former Elite League player looking to bring out a blog about time in the Elite League. I'm sure we all really care.
But we'll all read it.
We'll all read it and then just yawn and forget about it about a week later. Doug Clarkson of the Cardiff Devils received a one-game suspension for a spear on Rob Sandrock. An interesting one, Coach, especially in the table they're talking about the reflection off the glass.
I think it's the Dobbs committee actually utilising all the resources there. I mean, it was very evident, you know, on the reflection of the glass, what he did. I mean, he was called for it at the time. There was no, I had a good chat, I think, the interview's up on our SoundCloud account with Andrew Lord. Mm-hmm. He had no complaints whatsoever with the call. I think Doug Clarkson had no complaints either. I think it was just a bit of a rush of blood to the head. And, you know, again, I think Dobbs have done a very good job, vote coach.
Yet, despite always highlighting how these are automatic reviews for a major game misconduct, I suppose in the theme of the big debate, we're yet to hear anything on Lloyd or Sawada, Davey?
Well, yes, I'm sure the fans around the Elite League, or especially Belfast Giants fans and Cardiff Devils fans, expecting probably suspensions to be handed out based on, you know, Doug Clarkson receives a game ban for spearing last week. So, you know, the thought would be Lloyd's been thrown out of a game for spearing. He will also receive a ban. But, you know, Dobbs poorly implemented the system, vote team Davey. And, you know, it's just, it's just something the fans, even if it's a one line on the Elite League website to say the game tape from Sunday night in Dundee's been reviewed, Rhys Wada and Darren Lloyd, there'll be no further action taken. You know, that's straightforward, easy to do, can be thrown up on the website in 30 seconds and just, you know, jog on, guys.
Well, I would imagine that Dobbs have passed that information on to both the Belfast Giants and to the Elite League.
This debate's going to last forever, isn't it?
So I think the Elite League are the ones to maybe blame here on that one for not getting that information out. Not Dobbs, vote coach.
Hashtag vote coach, hashtag vote Davey. Get on the Twitter, guys. Come on.
I don't disagree with you. Hang on. It's a very important point.
Stop the foot down here, Director General.
It's a very important point. In the age of social media that we live in, everybody wants the information, and it's so quick to put that information out. Everybody wants the information now, and it can be put out now. It can be put out by the Elite League, and I'm sure Chris Ellis, who does an absolutely fantastic job, could have had that information out in 30 seconds. All you have to assume is that information hasn't been passed on by Dobbs yet, because it's a poorly implemented system.
One. That is incorrect. That has been passed on, so it's an Elite League issue. Hashtag vote coach.
Right. Shut the door.
Are you giving out information you shouldn't be? Vote Davey.
Possibly.
The Elite League board meeting took place on the 7th of January, and the main points of discussion were posted on the Elite League website, talking about a little bit of transparency. The Challenge Cup semi-finals have to be completed by the 24th of February. Wow, they've actually made a decision on the Challenge Cup. The previous decision to increase to 2 EU passport holders in a team next season remains. Meanwhile, the teams are aware who DOPS are. And feedback loop with the teams has been established. The refereeing will be evaluated. This is all coming back to haunt us now. The refereeing will be evaluated and assessed, including feedback forms for both coaches in a game. And this will lead to more accomplished referees being rewarded with the, quote, big games, the playoff finals, the Challenge Cup. And also, there'll be a price freeze on this season's playoff tickets. I think it still remains about 500 quid. And there may be a fans forum at the playoffs to discuss the future of the Elite League. Coach,
I'm sure Davey will be there, up in his pulpit.
Come on, Coach, anything on those? You've got to get handed to the Elite League board. They're starting to come out with a little bit of transparency as to what has been said in these mysterious meetings chaired by Tony Smith.
Yeah, and I think that has come about through, again, probably social media presence. You know, a lot of fans have asked for that, you know, more openness from the Elite League. You know, what's said during those meetings? I'm sure we don't have the full minutes of the meeting or anything like it, but
I'd love to read the full minutes of the meeting.
Yeah, you'd love to be a fly on the wall of some of the conversations, but I mean, they've given us good information there and what have you, and that's a good thing to see from the Elite League moving forward. And the one thing I would say, I don't know for an absolute fact, but teams are indeed aware of the UK officials who possibly are involved in the whole DOPS. You know, there are numerous people across North America and Europe who also review the video, so I'm not sure if they're as widely known by the GMs, the owners and the coaches, because I think they always wanted to keep that away from you know, coaches being able to maybe, he's reviewing, he used to be a buddy of mine years ago, so I'm not so sure about that, but which I think is a good thing as well. Hashtag vote coach.
Davey, the transparency is a good thing. One of the things that also is the fact that they're standing by their decision to keep 2 EU passport holders in next season's Elite League.
Yeah, it's good that these minutes are out there. You know, they're throwing the crumbs from the table to the hungry dogs on social media, and people lap this kind of stuff up. You know, myself included, I like to know what's going on. You know, people, you're invested emotionally in this sport. You know, we love it. We talk about it all day, every day. It's what we do. We're on our WhatsApp or our Telegrams, if you've still got it downloaded on your iPhone, you know, vote Davey. And it's just a case of, you know, people want to know everything that's going on in the modern age. And this is fantastic from the Elite League that they're able to give a small bit back to the fans without giving too much information. Just give them enough to keep them going. Good to see that the tickets at the playoff finals have been frozen, because it's been steadily getting more and more expensive for fans to go. And, you know, it has been hard over a number of seasons to justify the prices that have been charged, especially with certain games being cut out. There's no England-Scotland game anymore. There's no third-place playoff. You know, it's really for three games. It's quite an expensive weekend. So good to see they've at least frozen it.
In the games this weekend, the Steelers suffered at the hands of the Panthers again before finally breaking their slump in Coventry, while the Clan continued to drive forward at the top of the league with wins against Fife and Hull. Cardiff lost to Coventry at home and fought bravely in the NIC before losing to an overtime to a Perrant winner. And while Fife got drilled nine by the Caps in Kirkcaldy on Sunday evening. We'll come back to the Caps in a second because, gentlemen, we've three games to talk about. First up, tomorrow night, when this goes out, I suppose, if you're listening on the Wednesday tonight, the Cardiff Devils at the Big Blue Tent. The second leg of the Challenge Cup quarter-final. Cardiff are leading 5-3 after last week's game at the Odyssey Arena.
4-3.
After Cardiff winning 4-3 at last week's game at the Odyssey Arena. Both teams this weekend walked away with 1 point, but significantly different opposition or level of opposition. Cardiff, 8 wins from the last 10. And the home loss to Coventry at the weekend was the first home loss since November the 2nd. Giants lost 4-1 and 5-3 in December there. Adam Keefe appears to be hurt. Davey, is there any means for optimism here? Come on.
Yes, of course, because by and large, the roster that we're taking to Cardiff dominated in Cardiff last season. We spoke to Calvin Elfring last week after the game in Belfast and, you know, said to him, what's the cause for optimism? And that was pretty much his point. You know, all we have to do is go and win a game in Cardiff, and we've done it before. We've done it plenty over the last 4 or 5 years. We've got guys who have experienced winning in the Gross Little Tent, you know, and there is optimism. This team demolished Sheffield 2 weeks ago. They haven't become a bad team overnight. As I've said already, they're down in confidence, but, you know, every game's a new game. We're one goal behind. Go out there in the game, first period. We've talked about it loads. Coach's favourite saying, best foot forward. Got to go out in the first period and try and be dominant. If we let the Cardiff Devils impose their game on us in a cup quarter final in what is going to be a packed out wee barn, we will struggle. We have to be the team that worries about the Belfast Giants. We can't worry about the Cardiff Devils. We've got to go out and play our game, play our system, and I'm hoping for a win. I'll be down there. I'll be tweeting from the view from the bridge account if you're listening in. So, It's exciting. I hope to see us through a Challenge Cup semi-final because it's a trophy I really, really want to win.
Coach, it's to quote Steve Thornton, we are a team built for a small rink. We've got the big units. We've got the players. We went in there in December and we were bullied. The Giants have to come out here and they have to hit them hard.
Well, firstly, best foot forward. Secondly, be emotionally engaged from the get-go. And that comes from within. You could have Steve Thornton or Rob Stewart screaming their lungs out at you. You have to be emotionally engaged. It comes from within. And certain times in a season, you have to just, you automatically switch on. We saw it in the Sheffield doubleheader weekend. We were emotionally, physically and mentally engaged right from the get-go. We have to be the same over the next, tomorrow evening, Saturday and Sunday. Tomorrow and Saturday, massive, massive games. Tomorrow night, you know you're going to be physically engaged in Cardiff. I have now seen Trevor Hendricks laying out Kevin Westgarth once at the Big Blue Tent with a superb hip check. I've seen him lay him out twice at the, for a second time, sorry, at the Odyssey Arena with another superb check. I want to see Kevin Westgarth going out here tomorrow night and taking the body from the get-go. I want to see Ray Sawada doing it. I want Daryl Lloyd, Adam Keefe in people's faces. I want Big Davey Phillips, Cody Brookwell in the back end playing that physical game. To allow our defence just have to be tighter. We have to be tighter defensively. But really, we need to come out and be emotionally engaged from the get-go.
I'd say if you're not, so I totally agree with both of you, gents, but one of the terms that you have to be emotionally engaged, something just doesn't sit well with me. If you're not emotionally engaged, you may as well leave the shirt in the dressing room and climb back on the bus, especially every single time. I know it does happen. And that's one of the frustrations when we're watching the Belfast Giants this season. It's the fact that some of them, from time to time, you think, you don't really want to be here. And it's just, for me, having to, driving to Hull or driving to Nottingham or driving to Cardiff or driving here and seeing that is just annoying. So when you come to a game like this, then let's be fair, gents. With a game against Cardiff, which could possibly put us out of the cup, and a game against Sheffield on Saturday, that if we lose, we're back on the fringes of fighting for the league title. Our season's on the line in these next two games. Anyway, before we get on to the Steelers game, the live webcast will be from Cardiff Devils. We'll tweet that up on tomorrow afternoon. And the face-off is at 7:30. As I said, with the Cardiff Devils game there, you know, that's the Challenge Cup quarter-final. The Giants' season could be on the line. And they take on the Sheffield Steelers on Saturday at 7 p.m. The Steelers 5 wins out of the last 10 games. And it's live on Premier Sports. You're home for hockey. Did I say that right, Aaron Murphy?
That's not bad. Your Canadian accent's probably better than my my Northern Irish accent. So I'll give you a point there.
Thanks for joining us, mate. This is a big game for the Belfast Giants, and it's great that it's on Premier Sports, but it's definitely one of the Giants with the 2 wins over the Sheffield Steelers at the Odyssey Arena. Considering the weekend the Giants have just had, have to go into the Motor Point looking for those 2 points.
Yeah, they got to win that game. As bad as, you know, a lot of Sheffield Steelers fans I see on social media, they're saying it's a must-win for Sheffield and this and that, but I think it's even more detrimental to the Giants after the weekend they've just had. I mean, when you look at it, they had Hull and they had Dundee, and that really needed to be a 4-point weekend for them. They come away with 1 point. So going into Motor Point, they really need to win this game, or it's going to be trouble for them. I mean, Brayhead, people are talking about the conference system, and Brayhead probably has a little bit of a less arduous run-in, if you will, but like no one's going to roll over for anybody, obviously. But I really think that if the Giants don't win on Saturday night, there are hopes of repeating and go down a little bit more after the weekend they had last weekend.
This game, Premier Sports, the last time you had the Sheffield Steelers with Premier Sports was a massive game at the NIC, and that was great entertainment. It's great to have so many games of such a high caliber on Premier Sports.
Well, the league is just year on year. The league is just so more competitive. I mean, you could roll up into Hull or Dundee and you'd think, you know, a lot of people might say, well, why'd you pick that game? And then we get like a 3-2 game or a shootout game. So it doesn't matter where you go this year, or even, you know, towards the end of last year, we got lucky with a lot of sort of good storylines. And even this year we went to Coventry and it was the first home game for Coach Weber. So we seem to get lucky, but, you know, there's a method to the madness, but I just think you've got to give the league and the general managers and coaches and players around the EIHL. I mean, it's just anyone could beat anyone on any given night. But obviously, when you have Sheffield hosting Belfast, everyone sort of their ears perk up just because of the rivalry. There's no love lost there. And certainly with the, you know, people are saying it's a 4 or 5 team race. This is essentially a playoff game for both teams. This is a must win. And like I said, even more so, I think, for the Giants after coming off the Hull Dundee weekend of last weekend.
Murphy and I have called a couple of games for Premier with the Belfast Giants. You've called a couple of the games for the Sheffield Steelers so far this season, as Paddy alludes to, for Premier as well. Where's this game on Saturday night going to be won and lost, in your opinion?
Well, you know what? I think it's going to come down to, I mean, these teams are evenly matched. There's top lines on both teams that can score goals. There's secondary scoring throughout both lineups. I think it could come down to whether Frank Doyle has one of those nights that I've marveled at, and Coach, you and I have talked about it. I mean, he, towards the end of last year, Frank Doyle looked like the real deal. He looked like a guy that deserved to win a playoff championship in overtime, and he towards the end was probably the best goalie in the league. It could come down if he's stolen some games this year for Sheffield, and he is a goalie that's a difference maker in my mind. So if he does what Frank Doyle has done in many of the games that I've called or many of the games I've witnessed over the past season and a half, then if he has one of those nights, then Belfast are going to have to get traffic in front. They're going to have to get into those greasy areas, and guys like Westgarth and some of the bigger bodies are going to have to hope to get a blind one or a tip or a deflection, because if Frank Doyle is having one of those nights, boy, he's hard to score on. It could come down to him frustrating the Giants, but you know, Chubak's good, and these are two really matched teams, but I do think it could come down to goaltending on Saturday night.
Murph, talking about goaltending there, just how much are the Giants going to have to manage the on-ice officials? Because, you know, when it's came down to penalty, you know, power plays this season as well, you know, the Giants are running about 21% on the power play. Beat Sheffield. Sheffield's power play is only running about 14%. Is special teams going to be key this weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point, Davey. Special teams wins close hockey games, and special teams wins championships between two championship caliber teams. So if you get chances on the power play Saturday night, if you're the Giants, you've got to tick over at that percentage rate. You know, you've got to be at least 1 for 3 or 2 for 5. If you go 0 for 4 or 0 for 5 on the power play, you probably won't win that game. And if you are undisciplined and give Sheffield, especially with that first line, I know the first line for Sheffield's maybe come under a little bit of fire recently, Forney and whatnot, but that is a trio up front on the power play. If you give them too many looks, they will burn you. So I think that it comes down to the goaltending, but special teams wins close hockey games between two championship caliber teams. So I think if Belfast can get a couple of power play goals, make no doubt, this will probably be a rough game Saturday night. No love lost between these two sides. And there's always a cauldron at the motor point. And there's probably also, you know, this matchup also brings a little bit of build up, going to Sheffield. There's usually some extra, you know, social media around that sort of thing. But if the Giants can keep their cool, stay out of the box, and take advantage of a few power play chances, again, that's definitely key, and that's a good point by you, Davey.
You've singled out Frank Doyle there in the nets for Sheffield. Colin Shields is coming in on a real hot streak here. You know, 7+4 in his last 6 games. You know, 11 points. Who would you see as the Sheffield sort of on ice? You know, who's their main threat for you?
Well, I mean, Shieldsy, I'm a big Colin Shields fan. I think every time he's out there, he's a natural goal scorer. He's always a threat. But I think that Kevin Westgaard, I think, has to be the best player on the ice, both physically and on the puck and winning 50-50 battles. He's got to be hard on the wall. He's got to be hard in front of Doyle. And I think if Westgaard, there's been flashes, and you guys have told me, and I've spoke to coach as well, when he shows those flashes of being a big, strong man, he can contain everybody. He can carry a shift on his own big shoulders. If he kind of goes absent for parts of that game, it won't be easy for Belfast. But if he can dominate shifts like we know he can with that NHL pedigree and being a big, strong guy, if he can do what he can do and bring it shift in, shift out, and not take shifts off, I think he's the key to any success at Motor Point.
Well, the game is at 7 p.m. on Saturday, live on Premier Sports, as we said, and you're joined by not only Paul Eddy, who is, you know, a legend in this sport, but also by another greater legend than Neil the Coach Russell.
You know what? TV's Neil Russell does a real good job, and Paul Eddy is incredible because there's not much he hasn't seen in the game, both in Italy and the UK, and of course he's both played internationally and played domestically. His analysis is pretty incredible, and we're going to do some different things on Saturday night. I think tune in. I won't tip my hat too much, but there's going to be extra analysis and some more sort of coaches thing from Coach 80, not Coach Russell, and Neil always does a good job. So I think it's a neat way to make the show a little bit bigger, expand a little bit. It's a big matchup. It's something that we could look back. It's a matchup that we could look back on later on as a key cog in the wheel of either of these teams if they're successful in winning the Elite League. So it's going to be a bigger show. It's going to be a good crowd at Motor Points. So I'm looking forward to working with both Coach 80 and Coach Russell.
Yeah. Well, as I say, 7 p.m. live on Premier Sports. The Belfast Giants take on the Sheffield Steelers. Thanks for joining us, Murph.
Oh, anytime, Patty. And tune in around 6:30 for the pregame show. Like absolutely. I said, there'll be a few different bits and pieces. And, of course, these are two teams that always sort of deliver. I think it's going to be a good one on Saturday. And tune in. And thanks for having me on this one.
And on Sunday at 5:45 up at the Murrayfield Rink next to the stadium, that old rink is with the wooden seats, the Belfast Giants travelling to take on the Edinburgh Capitals. The Cavs with one win in the last 10, 45 goals conceded in the last 10 games with only 20 goals scored. Davey, earlier today, got the chat with Scott Neal of the Edinburgh Capitals.
Very pleased to say joining on this week's show is Edinburgh Capitals Supremo Scott Neal. Scott, you're very, very welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Scott, difficult time for the Caps at the minute. Richard's been in the press today saying you're in a club in a bit of a crisis. only one win in the last 10 games. You seem to be shipping a lot of goals.
Yeah, it's similar to the sort of period we went through at the beginning of the season. But, you know, I try to say to Richard and the guys, you know, we did come out of that. We did put on a good streak. You know, we put a lot of games together. We put a lot of wins together. And, you know, we got to think of the positives and try and get back on that kind of run again. You know, things haven't been going for us kind of, you know, both, you know, on the ice with goal scoring and suspensions. But, you know, there's only one way to get yourself back out of that, and that's, you know, putting the puck in the net, getting a bit of momentum and confidence back. And, you know, we've got a squad there that have proved that, you know, they can put a run and win together, and they've got to find that form again.
As you said yourself, let's find a positive. Still sitting in the eighth position, a playoff spot. Is that your realistic target now for the rest of the season, try and qualify for those playoffs?
Absolutely. You know, we're in a lot better position right now than, you know, we were when we, you know, eventually started winning games. We were entering the league and we fought our way back into, I think, it's sixth place at one point. So, you know, we are in a playoff position right now. We do realise we're going to be in a dogfight, you know, to stay in the playoff place. But, you know, we're in a lot better position than we were before, you know, we put on a bit of a run. You know, so the positives are there. You know, we've got to turn it around. We've got to use, you know, like the bad card of defeat that we got, we've got to use, you know, the bad defeat in Fife at the weekend as, you know, a bit of a wake-up call and, you know, start to produce some results again.
As a club, you're still able to attract, you know, high-quality elite league players. You know, Rennie Yarlin, you've had Curtis Lienweber over the last few years, Thomas Hudlowski, and that's the coach, Richard Hartman. You were able to coach Martin Single back year on year. You know, it's still an attractive place to play hockey.
I think, you know, I think Edinburgh's got, you know, it's a fantastic city. It's got a long heritage of hockey. You know, it's not, you know, we haven't had the successes. We are playing against some big clubs now, but, you know, it's a city that, you know, players, you know, enjoy when they come to. You know, it would be great if we could add a bit of success into that as well.
Let's talk about the elephant in the room, Joe Grimaldi. How easy or hard was that situation just to deal with so quickly?
You know, I think everyone, including Joe, we're all disappointed with the incident. You know, it was a kind of a, you know, an unusual incident that probably not a lot of other people have seen in their kind of hockey careers. And, you know, we just had to make that decision to part company. And, you know, he's been an Edinburgh player. You know, we respect that, and you know, we try to look after, you know, all our players. You know, even after they leave the club, and you know, it's something I think all parties are disappointed with. But you know, we've got to move on and make the best of the situation we find ourselves in.
And just how difficult playing that body down now for 10 games? How much of a, you know, problem is that for you?
That's never going to be easy for a club like Edinburgh, because we rely more on, you know, depth and the sort of high quality caliber players maybe some of our teams, you know, can put out. So when it comes to a situation where you know, we're down on bodies, it does hurt us more. You know, we don't have, you know, the high end British players that, you know, a lot of other clubs do. We don't have the sort of high pedigree imports that a lot of other clubs do. So it does hurt us. There's no doubt about that. And you know, when we did go on our good run, you know, we had a lot going for us. We had a lot of players available. We had everyone back from injury. We did carry an extra guy for a while as well, to, you know, to help us with injuries. So, you know, it is disappointing sitting here, you know, with our club or our budget, you know, having to sit a player out as well.
Let's look forward to this weekend. Giants play tomorrow in Cardiff and then travel to the Motor Point Saturday, then on to Murrayfield, where the Caps will be waiting for you. No other game this weekend. What sort of game are you expecting on Sunday?
Well, you know, Belfast are, you know, without a doubt, a quality team, and we've been in this situation before where we thought we were going to maybe take advantage of Belfast playing three games in three nights, and they've came out, you know, relatively comfortable winners. It's going to be a tough game. Belfast, you know, quality side, a lot of depth, you know, a lot of pedigree players. But, you know, we've got to find a way to start winning, and you know, we gave Belfast a close game, first game of the season. And, you know, we've got to find our own confidence, worry about our own game, rather than you know, what Belfast are going to bring to the table. And you know, hopefully Belfast will be, you know, a little bit reticent after losing twice to, you know, Gardner Conference teams this weekend. So, you know, hopefully that will give our guys a bit of confidence and, you know, the realization that we got to start putting points on the board if we've got a chance of making the playoffs.
Let's talk to Scott Neil, the Edinburgh Capitals fan. Who for you is going to be the key Caps player this weekend that's going to reverse the result that we had up in Murrayfield just a few weeks ago there?
You know what, to be honest, I think for us it needs to be a team effort. You know, we probably need very strong goaltending from Thomas Yudlowsky, but you know, for our team, I think it very much needs to be a team effort with everyone pitching, and we've got no real out and out stars on the team this year. It's the games we've won have all been a huge team effort with everyone chipping in, everyone working hard. You know, and we're not going to win, you know, by three or four goals. If we win, it's going to be, you know, by the odd goal or, you know, in overtime or penalty shots. We're not going to blow teams out. It's going to be, you know, a good grind and, you know, hard effort. And that's what we more or less did, you know, right through the run of wins that we got. And, you know, that's the sort of nature of our team. We need everyone contributing.
As I've said there, Scott, you know, you're a fan of the club. You've played for the club. You've coached it. You've owned it, you know, up in that beautiful rink. And I mean it. I absolutely love it up there. But what more is there for Scott Neil to do in Murrayfield?
What more?
What's your plans for the future for the Caps?
You know, I think we still, you know, we need to keep trying to build hockey in Murrayfield. I think, you know, the long-term goal is, you know, a new facility for Edinburgh. We were close to, you know, a number of years ago. And, you know, I think, you know, the prospect of that will return, you know, within the next sort of 5 to 10 years. You know, it's a matter of keeping hockey in here, try to build a crowd base, try to give them something to sing and shout about. And, you know, we have done that at various times, you know, over seasons, but, you know, not on a consistent basis. And, you know, like a lot of clubs, you know, hockey's a kind of fickle sport in many ways, and their fan base is, you know, going, you know, depending on their level of success, they come and go. But, you know, we really need at some point, you know, to try and deliver a consistent season, you know, for Edinburgh that gives, you know, both our fans, our sponsors, a bit of confidence going forward.
And you're one of the majority of clubs now that produces a webcast. The last one we had there just a few weeks ago, real top notch product. Now it's really, really pulled its boots up over the last season.
Well, again, you know, over the years we've had a real problem in Edinburgh with getting that consistent upload speed, and we've recently changed the way we deliver that, and you know, brought in a couple of other guys that have really helped begin to deliver a, you know, a solid product. But you know, part of that, I think over the last sort of 3 or 4 years has been we've had a major issue with you know, getting a consistent upload speed on it. But I think we've solved that issue now, and we've got some good people on board with good technical skills, and you know, I think it's going to, you know, develop and get better and better all the time now.
Well, Scott, well, thank you very, very much for your time tonight. We'll look forward. We wish you all the very best for the future with the club. It's a place we all love coming to visit. We wish you all the best for the rest of the season. Maybe not this weekend so much, but thanks very much for your time.
Okay, thanks for the call. Really appreciate that.
Cheers.
Thanks again to Scotty. Always good to hear from him. The guys, you know, worked really hard with the Edinburgh Capitals, Davey, and you know, sometimes it doesn't bear fruit and sometimes it does, but he's persevered.
as I said to him in the interview, you know, he's a fan. He played for the club. He coached the club. He owns the club. He bleeds blue, you know, the Coventry Blaze from a couple of seasons ago there, you know, the club is in his veins and his heart. And it's hard to see someone put so much effort in for what is scant reward. And, you know, a team that have conceded 45, as you've said, in their last 10, we should be going there and putting them to the sword. We were there a couple of weeks ago. We knocked six past them. They're an import short. It's the end of a long road trip for us. You know, this week will be hard on the bodies. Traveling to Cardiff today for a game tomorrow, and then on to Sheffield, on to Edinburgh. It'll be hard on the bodies this week, but we should be putting Edinburgh away. Let's make no mistake about it. You know, the gap and the gulf in quality is there, and on paper, and it should be something we should be rubber stamping on the ice.
Cool. Speaking of rubber stamping, coach, the Capitals are an import short due to the Grimaldi stamp not being there. The Giants' fourth road game on the trot, but in saying that, you know, it is it's going to be really disrespectful. It is the Edinburgh Capitals, and we should be going in there, maybe as we did in Dundee, thinking that this is 2 points that we absolutely have to have.
There's no question about that, Paddy. It is a must 2 points. I mean, Davey talks about it quite a bit whenever the Caps come up in conversation. Thomas Hudlowski, he's an excellent goaltender. And we have sometimes struggled against him. They obviously did very well, as Davey said there a couple of weeks ago, whenever we were over and put six past them. But listen, I think you've summed it up perfectly well. I think you look at the two teams and the difference in the quality of both teams, we should just be going into the Murrayfield rink and walking away with the 2 points, Paddy.
And Davey, I'll give you your moment. You had a moment a couple of weeks ago. I'll give you a moment to promote the Caps webcast.
Yeah, get on it. When you've listened to the Scott Neil interview back there, he's saying, you know, they've had a big upgrade on their broadband line, which is why it's improved so much. I'm still talking to the Caps guys. Hopefully we'll be able to sort something out before the weekend with an offer, possibly for Giants fans, either an early bird offer or just a discount for a view from the Bridge followers for the webcast. But, you know, I can highly recommend it. I've been stung badly by it in the past, persevered with it, and the last webcast is of, you know, very, very high standard quality, good commentating, good picture quality. So if you can't get to Edinburgh on Sunday night, by all means, stick your hand in your pocket, get PayPal out, whatever way you want to pay for it, and get the webcast, because watch your team, support your team when you can.
That's it. The games, as I say.
And support the Edinburgh Capitals. They're at the bottom of the league for a reason. They're not getting big crowds in. They don't have the budget other teams have. Every £8 counts, or £9, whatever it is, counts for them. So, you know, support the other teams around the league when you can as well.
That's not like you.
It is
totally out of character.
Are you on the drink?
What's going on there?
Anyway. I kind of take it back. Support the Edinburgh Capitals. I like the underdog. I like my Scots. I like my Scots brothers. If the Nottingham Panthers ever bring a webcast out, never subscribe.
The game's, as I said, Wednesday night against the Cardiff Devils. That's at 7:30. Sheffield Steelers on Saturday, 7 p.m. on your home for hockey. And Edinburgh Capitals Sunday, 5:45. You'll be able to get those games on webcast. You'll probably be able to go to Laveries to watch them as well. Keep your eye on Twitter, and we'll try to bring up as many updates on what's going on as we can. Gents, any other business? Quite an important one, Coach.
Excuse me, yes.
Clear your throat.
sorry, I'll start that one again because I've got a frog in my throat. Hold on. Swallowed the wrong way there. Blah. 3, 2, 1. Yeah, very much so, Paddy. Just picking up on David Sims, Simsy's charity work that he's doing at the minute and has done for quite a while with young Amy Usher. I'm sure most people who are certainly online on Simsy's Facebook and as Twitter will see what work Dave has done for her and the Sheffield Steelers organisation. I mean, I had a good lengthy chat with Seth Bennett last week, and he told me some of the stuff that Simsy has done and the club have done for her that hasn't been made public, and it really got me. So that I have to say, emotionally, it is a young girl, if you're not aware, who has been suffering with cancer now for a couple of years, I believe, 2 or 3 years anyway, and it's now a terminal case. And the Sheffield Steelers have really taken taken her under under their wing, and Simsy in particular, and they looked after her last year and took her to the playoffs and various different things, and the guys just all absolutely love her. And you can see some of the, even like Steve Gertsen and some of the Sheffield Steelers who have moved on still make contact with her via social media and all the rest. And Simsy's doing a 3-day walk from Birmingham up to Sheffield, and he's trying to raise as much money as possible.
Yeah, Davey, you know, the Belfast Giants, we know ourselves, you know, we've had, we've in the last year, we've lost Oscar Knox. We've also lost many of the hockey family from right across the UK. And when one of our own is in this sort of situation, we all come together to try to help out. And with a view from the bridge, as Coach said, we want to do our bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Only a few weeks ago, there, Big Boomerang. Absolutely. You know, it's a situation close to a lot of people's heart. And, you know, the Steelers there have her name on the ice as the Sheffield Steelers. Everybody steps on her name as they go out on the ice. You know, they do this season for her. They're raising money for the Weston Park Hospital Cancer Charity. And we're hoping that we'll be able to go along on one of the days Dave's walking to present them with a certain amount of money. Mm-hmm. We have a Colin Shields GB game-worn jersey that we are going to raffle off. We'll put the details up on Kingdom of Giants. We'll tweet out the links. Hopefully Simsy, etc. will get behind it. We'll try and raise as much money as we can for this fantastic charity. You know, everyone, I've never met anyone yet that hasn't been affected by somebody that, or knows somebody that has been affected by cancer. And it's a terrible disease that, you know, what they're trying to do here is a good thing. Let's get behind it. Let's do, see what we can raise. And we'll go along and present it to somebody somewhere along the way on his walk.
Here, here, a wonderful cause for us to get behind him. We'll give you the details on how you can get your hands on this GB shirt of Colin Shields and also help in donating towards this wonderful, wonderful charity. Gentlemen, on that note, Belfast Giants have had a tough weekend behind them, but it's an opportunity now to put that to bed and move forward with three wins and in three, let's say, difficult games. Till we talk next weekend, thanks for joining us.
Cheers, Paddy. Vote Coach.
Don't forget to tune in tomorrow night to A View from the Bridge for your Twitter updates from the Big Blue Tent. Vote Davey.
Thanks to Coach, thanks to Davey, thanks to Aaron Murphy and to Scott Neal. A long show, but plenty to talk about. A difficult weekend to talk about. Last weekend was great, but I wasn't here. Hitchy had to do it. Thanks to Hitchy, by the way, for coming in last weekend while I was off on the slopes. I had a great holiday, and I listened to the show while I was skiing down. It was a great one to listen to. Three big games this weekend. Well, this week. So I will start off with the Cardiff Devils, of course, in the quarterfinal. 7:30 p.m. You can check out the Cardiff Devils website for more information on their webcast, or get yourself down to Laverys. I'm sure it'll be on there. Same with the game against the Sheffield Steelers on your home for hockey, Premier Sports, 7 p.m. from the Motor Point. And on Sunday, 5:45, tune into the Caps TV webcast for that. If you want to get in contact with us, podcast at kingdomofthegiants.com, at AVFTB, where you can vote Coach or vote Davey. www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast is the website, and soundcloud.com/AVFTB, where I'm sure on Wednesday night Davey will have a few interviews in the aftermath of the second leg of the Challenge Cup quarterfinal. And also don't forget to check out Twitter, get involved as we throw our weight behind Simsy's campaign to raise money for that cancer charity, at AVFTB for more information. And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey, and we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.